All right, let's go ahead and we'll open in prayer and then we'll begin. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your kindness and love towards us. We thank you for the protection that you've given us, Lord, in Jesus Christ, and how we see in the book of Deuteronomy today the care and the concern you have for people in all kinds of situations and all kinds of people. And I pray that we would derive the proper biblical principles for today. And we ask that you bless us, Lord. Bless your word. Bless our study now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All right. So sa aklat ng Deuteronomy, magmula chapters 12 hanggang chapter 26, ito yung tinatawag na God's law. We're focusing on the law of God or the words of the Lord and in the heart of his people. And so, yes, in chapters 10, 11 is the Ten Commandments, and then 12 and subsequent chapters are related commandments. So makikita natin sa chapters 24 and 25, another extension of the Ten Commandments, and really the moral law. So, yes, meron itong pagka-ceremonial. Yes, meron itong pagka-civil law. But the heart of the law is the moral aspects of the law. Not the ceremonial, not the civil. We're not interested in those things, per se. But we are interested in the spirit of the law, the moral law. And so, dito natin makikita sa chapters 24, 25, really, and chapter 26, although I don't think we'll get to chapter 26 today, that God, so naalala natin yung, what's the heart of the law? Love God, and then love your neighbor, love your fellow man. Diba? Yan ang dalawang bahagi ng law. Now, if you complete that, that is the royal law. That's the law of God. So, mahalin muna ang Diyos, tapos mahalin ang kapwa-tao. Love God, and then love your fellow man. And if you can fulfill those things, you fulfill the royal law. Here in Deuteronomy 24, 25, and 26, we see the love of God for all different kinds of people and all different kinds of situation. And he protects them. So the key word here is protection. So makikita natin dito yung iba't ibang uri at kalagayan ng tao na pinoprotekta ng Diyos. God protects all kinds of people. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 to 4. Ito yung unang paragraph. And dito natin makikita yung protection of marriage. Protection of marriage. Verse number 1 to 4. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it came to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. When she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So does divorce defile the land? Yes, there's something wrong with divorce. God hates divorce. It defiles the land. Now sa kasaysayan natin as a Filipino country, pinag-uusapan ngayon yung divorce law. So we have to always consider na ang batas ng tao ay always lesser than the law of God. Sino ang ultimate lawgiver? God's the ultimate lawgiver. Lahat ng batas natin, actually, derived yan sa ultimate lawgiver, which is God. So, God hates divorce. At kaya lang sa Deuteronomy 24, kung baga pinayagan ng divorce, it seems like God sanctions divorce. He does not. You have to remember, this woman in 24:1-4 had a pre-existing condition. Ano yung pre-existing condition niya? She was not pure. So somebody violated her, or she voluntarily gave her purity away. But at any rate, this is a pre-existing condition. And so the Lord made a provision because of the hardness of man's heart and the sinfulness of the situation. And Moses made a decision here that, okay, you write a bill of divorcement, you divorce your wife because of her infidelity, apparently, or whatever. And so God protects the marriage laws. So furthermore, in Jewish culture, yung pang-aasawa, hindi katulad ng pang-aasawa natin. For example, they believe in betrothal and espousal. So I've already taught on these things, but legally, in the eyes of the law, a man and a wife are married civilly, but not no commencement, walang consummation ng kanilang pagsasama hanggang sa wedding day nila. So, but they are considered husband and wife. So, during the espousal period, pwede pa silang mag-break up, pwede pang maghiwalay. Kasi wala pa sila sa wedding day or sa night ng consummation nila. But after the wedding day, there is no divorce in scriptures. Now, there are, in our case, meron tayong mga pre-existing condition. So, anong gagawin ko kung ako ay divorce? So, anong mangyayari sa akin if I fall into that category? You live for the Lord. You can live for God. So, wag ulitin yung mistake. Wag ulitin yung sin. Don't repeat the mistake. Don't repeat the sin. Live unto God. Trust the Lord. And the Lord will bless if you trust in Him. So, but we see here that anyone who marries a divorced person is an adulterer in the scriptures. And so, be careful pagdating sa marriage. One of the traps of the devil is for a person, a Christian, to marry someone who's not a Christian. That is a subtle trap. And so, how many lives have been destroyed because of a false partner? And even in a Christian marriage, both partners need to live for the Lord. It's not going to work outside of Christ. Nothing works outside of Christ. So we have the protection in marriage. Verse number 5, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war. Neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. So ito yung protection ng newly married couple. So the Lord made provision na wag maging sundalo yung young husband. So exempt ka sa military service. All right, verse number 6, protection of livelihood. So your job and your God protects your job and livelihood. Verse 6, no man shall take the nether or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. So hindi pwedeng kunin yung livelihood ng tao against his will. There's private protection of his property and his livelihood. So, nangyayari ba ito ngayon? Does it happen today that people take people's private property against their will and their livelihood against their will? Yes. Yes. It still happens today. Is that biblical? That's against the law of God. God protects private property. If it's your property, that's your business. Manage it, steward it according to the Lord. But sometimes government overreaches. And so the principle of private property here is violated. There is principle of protection from kidnapping or human trafficking. Look at verse number 7. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel and maketh merchandise of him or selleth him, then that thief shall die and shall put evil away from among you. So there's human trafficking. Meron ba nag-view human traffic today? Does it happen today? Absolutely happens today. So you read the headlines, you see the news. This is like it's written for today. But let me remind you, this was written in 1406 before Christ came. And even then, that was a problem. So the Lord cares for the fatherless and the widows in that. All right, verse number 8 hanggang 9. Verse 9, protection from leprosy. Ito, quarantine. This is a quarantine law. Take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so shall ye observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. So naalala ninyo, the book of Leviticus, one of the functions of the priest is to examine the body of the leper to ascertain whether he is clean or unclean. Remember that? So the Lord cares to quarantine the sick. Okay? So may biblical basis pala yun. So yes, there is. All right? Look at verse number 10 hanggang verse 13. 10 to 13. Ito naman, protection from unlawful loan collection. So yung nag-utang ka, ngayon, hindi ka nakapagbayad, aabusuin ka naman na nagpahiram sa'yo. So the abuser is the loaner. So it's bad enough to ask for a loan, and if you can't pay that loan, for the loan, the one who gave the loan to be the abuser, that's terrible. Well, God protects the loan collectors here and collection. Verse 10, when thou lendest thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Mahiya ka naman, wag mong pasukan yung bahay na naghiram sa'yo para kolektan mo yung gusto mong kunin or whatever. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment, and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. So, sa Bible, pag may naghiram sa'yo, yes, nagpapahiram ka, pero the best thing to do is to have the attitude of, I'm just gonna give this to you. It may come across as a loan. I'll loan you something. But I'm practically saying, I'm gonna give this to you. That way, pag hindi nasoli yung loan, wala kang hard feelings against the person who cannot pay you back. So yung attitude talaga ng scriptures dito ay, magbigay na lang ako, hindi ako magpapairan, magbibigay na. Kasi pag nagbigay ako, wala akong expectation na isasoli sa akin. So that's the heart attitude here. And you know, if you bless the poor, look at what the Bible says. It shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. God honors you. God blesses you. So be careful when you loan and your expectations for the loan to return. It's better to give than to receive. And so just give na lang if you can. If you can. Now, I would say this. Kung magpapahiram ka, pero alam mo na gagamitin yung pinapahiram mo sa mali, you are in violation of Scripture. If you loan someone something and it will do them harm, you violate Scripture. So sometimes, loaning them is not the best thing for them, especially when they learn or become dependent on you. So learn to give instead of loan. Learn to loan in the proper way. To look for the purpose. Ano bang gagamitin niya sa pera na yan? For example, gagamitin ba niya sa pag-iinom? Sa drugs? Gagamitin ba niya sa mali? Kung ganun lang, ang pagpapahiram ko sa kanya ay madadala sa mali. I will be in violation of Scripture. You see? So, be wise about these things. All right? When you hire servants, or in the Bible context, slaves, there are protection for slaves. Verse 14, thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy stranger that are in the land within thy gates. So notice, walang pagkakaiba. Kesyo siya ay Hudyo or kesyo siya ay Egyptian, it doesn't matter. Treat them correctly, properly. Verse 15, at his day thou shalt give him his hire. Bayaran mo siya. So, he worked for you, pay him. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. So tingnan mo, you are a business owner. Your workers work, and you don't pay them. Eh, inaasahan nila yan. Kaya nga sila nagtatrabaho, inaasahan nila yan. Hindi mo ibibigay sa kanila, lagot ka pag sila nagpray sa Panginoon. God will hear that prayer and will curse you. You see? So this is the fair and proper treatment of hired servants. Is God fair? Is that proper? Yes, that's just. That's holy. This is true. Verse 16. Dito yung protection of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. The father shall not be put to death for the children. Neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So walang substitute. Ako na lang ang patay ninyo. Huwag na lang si Junior. Oh, hindi pwede yun. No. God said, every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So everyone has to be held responsible for their own personal sin and crime against the Lord and against society. So by the way, is death penalty sanctioned in the Scriptures? Yes. So the conscience, yung konsensya ng tao, na hindi pa nakarinig ng biblical truth, sa kanya, Bakit ako mag-asasang ayon sa death penalty? Kasi yung mamamatay tao, papatayin ko. Di, ako rin mamamatay tao ako. Yan ang logic ng conscience na hindi biblical trained. At yan ang natural and logical conclusion. Absolutely. That is naturally, logically correct. If I take someone's life because they took someone's life, then I'm no better than the murderer. That is the natural, fleshly, logical conclusion. However, our conscience needs to be biblically trained and taught. So, let me ask you a question. Whose idea is it to impose a death penalty? Where did that start? Where did God impose the death penalty? Saan? Saan inimpose ng Diyos yung death penalty? Old Testament. Where? Genesis, first book, chapter. Anybody? We're getting somewhere. We're getting close now. Kasi 66 books, nakuha natin yung Genesis. Oh, saan sa Genesis? Where? Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 6. Genesis 9:6. So what does the scripture say there? Does anybody have Genesis 9:6? Ate Bambi, go ahead.
Genesis chapter 9 verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, named the man.
Okay. So tingnan mo ang dahilan ng Diyos kung bakit pag ikaw, pumaslang ka ng tao, dapat paslangin ka. Dahil ang tao ay hinugis sa wangis ng Diyos. Did you see the biblical and theological reasoning of God? Life is sacred because man was made in the image of God. So you know what? If you kill man, you will be killed by man. Because man is made in the image of God. That logic and reasoning is biblical and that is not natural. Hindi yan natural, hindi yan fleshly, hindi yan carnal. That is heavenly, that is godly, that is biblical. So, now let me ask you a question. Sa lipunan natin ngayon, alam ba ng mambabatas ang basis ng death penalty? No. Ang alam lang ng mambabatas, oh, sige, pumatay ka ng tao, dapat patayin ka rin. Kasi yun ang ginawa mo sa kapwa mong tao. That is not even the biblical logic. But if you're trained in the scriptures, you see in the scriptures, the reason why man is so important is because he's made in the image of God. The problem is, yung lipunan natin ngayon, ini-exit ang Diyos. That's the problem. Society today is getting rid of God. So when you get rid of God, you have no biblical basis. You have no reason to impose a death penalty. And so society that is fleshly, carnal, and human logic does away with the death penalty. That makes sense. But it doesn't make biblical sense. Biblical sense is man was made in the image of God, and so if man kills man, by man, man shall be killed. Because he violates the image of God. So, what I'm saying is, we are in a pickle. We are in a conundrum. May problema tayo. Okay? At hanggat hindi natin i-recognize si God sa lipunan natin, ang lipunan natin ay palayo ng palayo sa standard ng Diyos. Even today, there are Christians who do not believe in the death penalty. But God, who made them and created them in His own likeness and His own image, commanded us to impose a death penalty. So, the question is, who are you going to follow? You're going to follow your heart? You're going to follow your human logic? Or are you going to follow Jehovah God? See? It's choice for me, it's simple. God is my maker. God is my creator. He knows more than me. So you have that iterated in chapter 24, verse 16. All right, 17, verse 17. Protection of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. So matagal na. Mahal talaga ng Diyos yung fatherless and widows. Verse 17. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Don't pervert the judgment of stranger. Huwag ninyong parurusahan yung dayuhan ng ibang pamantayan na hindi nyo gagamitin sa Hudyo. You see that? Okay, so you cannot apply law unequally. Man, whether he's a stranger, a foreigner, or an Israelite, it doesn't matter. The law, everyone stands at the feet of the law on equal ground. There is, a man is equal in the eyes of God's law. Man is equal. Walang pagkakaiba. Fatherless, no, nawalan na ng representative ng ulo ng tahanan. Widow, namatay na yung asawa niya. Hindi nagbabago ang status niya sa mata ng batas. He is still and she is still equal under the law. So this is biblical. This is biblical. And God protects the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. There's protection for the poor and the slave. So the poverty law here. Verse 19. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it, for it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. So, halimbawa, mambubukid ka. Kukuha ka ng mga trigo. You're harvesting. May naiwan, nakakunting harvest. Huwag mo nang damputin, sabi ng Panginoon. Ibigay mo na lang yan sa mga servants, poor, widow, fatherless, sa mga wala, para i-bless ka ng Diyos. So you see, the giver is always blessed by God. God always blesses the giver. And you find here that God makes provision for the poor, the fatherless, the widow. God has a provision for them. He uses that. Now, mamaya in Matthew, we're going to be studying the book of Matthew later in the afternoon. This principle will come up because Jesus and the disciples were gathering corn. And the Pharisees were upset. Why are you gathering corn on the Sabbath day? You shouldn't do that. Jesus, look at your disciples. These are your disciples. You are violating the law. Oh, sabi ng law, may provision ng Diyos para sa mga poor. Sa palagay mo, yung disciples ni Jesus, are they rich or poor? Okay. Bahay nga, wala si Jesus, sabi niya. So anyway, we'll look at more of this later. Verse 20, when thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. When thou gatherest grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. For it shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Remember when in Egypt you were a bondman and you were working hard and nobody was there to help you? Now you have a chance now to be a help to a bondman that came along with you. So don't forget where you are from and bless those that need help. So there you have protection for the poor and the needy. All right? Chapter 25, pinagpapatuloy lang. Again, iterating the second aspect of the law, love thy neighbor. So lahat ito, this is all about loving your neighbor. All right? So verse 25, verse 1, this will be protection from abusive punishments and legal disputes. Chapter 25, verse 1 to 3. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, and the judges may judge them. Then they shall justify the righteous, condemn the wicked. It shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, the judge shall cause him to lie down, and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him, and not exceed, lest he should exceed and beat him above these many stripes with many stripes. Then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. So, there's protection here for abusive law. So even laws need to be checked and balanced so that they are not abusive. Cruel and unusual punishment. So there's a biblical case for that here. All right, verse number 4 is very unique. Kasi yung verse 4, binanggit ito sa New Testament. Ginamit ito ni Paul. Patungkol sa pagpo-provide sa pastor. So, look at verse number 4. Paul lifts a civil law and applies it spiritually to the church supporting their pastor. Verse number 4. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox which treadeth out the corn. Where do we find that in the New Testament? Luke mentions that. Paul mentions that. And the laborer is worthy of his hire. So, where is that? Tingnan natin. Thou shalt not treadeth the ox. So yung ox, yung nagtatrabaho yun. Pag sinabing treadeth the ox, or muzzle the ox, linalagyan ng takip yung bunga nga, ng asno habang kinakayod niya. Yung treadeth the corn, may mga trigo sa gitna, linalagyan ng trigo. Yung asno, naka-attach siya, or naka, hindi naman tali, pero para siyang gumigiling siya. So he is grinding the corn by going in a circular motion in a mill, grinding the corn. And as he's grinding the All right, any questions at all? So again, 24, 25, 26, we're going to see 26 next week. All it is an iteration or expression of loving your neighbor. Whether you're widow, fatherless, stranger, married, single, not married. All of this is basically love your neighbor. So we see that Moses is covering all different kinds of aspects of loving your neighbor. All right. Any questions at all? All right. So we're almost done with Deuteronomy. You know, see? 26. Tapos 27 is the curses and blessings, hanggang 30. And then just a few more chapters, Moses' final words. And we're closing the book of Deuteronomy. Now, we've gone through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the, I would call that the treasury of Moses. So there's, Psalms is the treasury of David. Pentateuch is the treasury of Moses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words. We thank you for your love, your concern for people, and for the provision and protection we find in your law that is rooted in love. And I just pray that we would learn to love our neighbor as ourselves according to the scriptures, but empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We love you, Lord. Ask your blessing upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.